Isaiah chapter 43. We're looking tonight at the first eight verses in this chapter, Isaiah 43. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, for every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. And reading through these chapters in Isaiah, beginning with chapter 40 and the next few chapters, we see several times God speaking to his people and admonishing them to fear not. Two times in these verses that we've just read, we see these words. In verse 1, you see God says, fear not. And then again in verse 5, fear not. And this reminds us, if you look back to chapter 41, we won't look at all of these places, but look back in chapter 41 in verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. And then in verse 14, fear not, thou worm Jacob, and you men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord. This reminds me, and I believe all of us, of a fact that is true of many of God's people, and that is many times we're given to fear. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was here in the flesh to his apostles, he said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. And the apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, who it seems was given to fear, he said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You notice in these verses here in our text, Isaiah 43, we read of God's people passing through the waters, through the rivers, and through fire. These are all emblems, the water, the rivers, the fire. These are all emblems of the various tribulations and problems and difficulties that God's people experience in this world. And the Lord's word to each and every one of his children is the same. Fear not. Fear not. I want to point out to us from these verses five reasons why God's children should not fear. Five reasons here in these verses why God's children should not fear. The first reason, and I begin with this, it doesn't come first in the text, but in verse 4, fear not, for I have loved thee. I begin with this because this is the fountainhead. This is the fountainhead from which all of these others, which are mentioned here, originate. And that is God's everlasting love. Fear not, for I have loved thee. Really, really, that should be enough to remove all fear, shouldn't it? Fear not. This is God speaking. This is the Lord God of heaven and earth. Fear not, for I have loved thee. You know, in these words here, I have loved thee, I see three truths about God's love. First of all, God's love is free. I have loved thee. God's love is not merited. It's not bought. If you gave all of your house and you had a very wealthy house, it could not buy God's love. His love is free. What he told the nation of Israel is true of all of God's spiritual Israel, all of God's people. And that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 7, when God says, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because," here's the reason why God set his love upon you, "because the Lord loved you." The cause is not in man. It's not in our conduct. It is not in anything about us. God loved his people, and his love is free. It's sovereign. That's just another way of saying God's love is sovereign when we say it's free. That's the first thing I see about God's love in this verse. It is free. And then we see that it is eternal. I have loved thee. It is eternal. It has no beginning. It is eternal. When the first star began to shine, and I've been watching some programs, Frontiersmen, and a lot of it is taken in Alaska, and of course there's no electricity, no lights, and when they turn off the lantern, many times they have pictures of the skies. The millions of stars. And you mentioned it this morning, I believe, Austin. We could not even begin to number the stars. But he not only has them numbered, but he has them named. And he called them all out by name. But before the first star ever began to shine, God already loved you. I have loved thee. His love is eternal. Now, I know I speak for all of us here tonight, but our minds are not really conditioned to understand or fully take that in, because everything since we come into this world, it's been past, present, and future. That's just the way our minds are geared to think, past, present, and future. But God's love is eternal, and it's always present. Present. His love is eternal. And a third thing that this tells us about God's love is it's personal. I have loved thee. I have loved thee. Fear not. That's the first reason. Fear not, for I have loved thee. Here's the second reason. We find this in verse 1. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Now, you and I know from the Word of God that fear came into this world with sin. There never was any fear. Holy Adam and Eve, before Adam disobeyed God and brought sin into God's creation, there wasn't anything like fear. He had fellowship. He had communion. He walked and talked with the Lord. But just as soon as he disobeyed God, he feared and tried to hide himself and cover himself with fig leaves, which are, of course, man attempting by his works to cover his nakedness and make himself acceptable unto God. And it never works. It never has worked. It never will work. Man does not have the ability. No. fear came into this world, Adam and Eve, they had cause to fear. Right? They had cause to fear. They had offended God's justice, and God's justice must be satisfied. God is just, He's righteous, He's holy. They had cause to fear. They had disobeyed God. How could Adam ever satisfy God's justice once he had offended God's justice? How could he ever satisfy? How could he ever make up for his fault, his lapse? How could he ever do that? He couldn't. Man is not able. But immediately, as we see in Genesis chapter 3 that records man's disobedience and man's fall, immediately we see God comes with the remedy. In type, yes, but God comes with the remedy. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And the scripture says, and Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now the coats of skins in which the Lord clothed the guilty pair means that life, innocent life, had to be forfeited. Innocent blood had to be shed in the place of the guilty pair. And that's what we see from the very beginning of the scriptures. Genesis chapter 3. That's what we see all the way through the Word of God. The substitutionary. There must be a substitute, and the substitute must be perfect. And he must give his life in the stead and in the place of the guilty. That was pictured, wasn't it? Immediately after man had sinned. If you notice here in our text, it is the Lord. Look there in verse 1 of chapter 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I, Jehovah, God, I have redeemed. Keep your places here, but look with me in Hebrews chapter 10 just a minute. Hebrews chapter 10. Fear not, for I have loved thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Here in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1, we read, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshipers, once purged, once washed, once cleansed, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, who came into this world? Who redeemed us? The Lord, Jehovah. When he came into this world, he said, a body hast thou prepared me. He united that body that God the Holy Spirit had created or made from the Virgin Mary to his person. So this is the Lord. As God, he has no blood, he's spirit. But as man, he has blood, has life to give. But as man, only man, he could not satisfy. So we see he is a God-man, fully God, and yes, fully man. And both are necessary. If a person just believed that Jesus is God and not man, he doesn't have a Savior. And if a man believed that he was only man and not God, he doesn't have a Savior. He must be both. Man to suffer, God to satisfy. He must be God-man. A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. God never found pleasure. That is, they never satisfied God. Those animal sacrifices. How could it be possible? Even though God ordained those sacrifices, because they were pictures of His one sacrifice, but they never satisfied God. They never took away one sin. Not possible, as He said before, that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. Now notice this, to do thy will, O God. He came to do God's will. And what was God's will? It was to redeem His people with His precious blood. I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when He said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now, you see those last two words have been added, once for all. They're not necessary. But if you want them, you must understand the all there is all of God's chosen people. Once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, this God-man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, the scripture says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And what was the curse of the law? Death. Death. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Fear not, I have loved thee. Fear not, I have redeemed thee. Now notice, here's the third. Fear not, for I have called thee. Verse 1. Fear not, Isaiah 43, verse 1, for I have called thee. The Lord Jesus Christ was given a people, and He was given those people to be His bride, to be members of His body, and to be His sheep. And He, to be the head of the body, to be the husband of the bride, and to be the shepherd of the sheep. Yeah. I have called thee. In His parable in John chapter 10, a parable concerning the sheep and the sheepfold, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And in the parable, He said, His sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. His sheep hear His voice in the gospel. He calls His sheep by name. Many times when I have mentioned this verse of scripture, I have said that His sheep hear Him call their name when He says, sinner. Sinner. He's talking to sinners. He's calling sinners. He's talking to me. See what I'm saying? He is, my sheep hear my voice. And he calls his sheep by name. Just like those shepherds over in Palestine at that time, they had all their sheep named. And when they would go out of the sheepfold in the morning, they would call their sheep. And there might be three or four different flocks all gathered in that sheepfold during the night. And yet as each shepherd left, he would call his sheep, and only his sheep would come. They knew his voice. Most of the sheep that we see or hear about are big ranches, you know, have thousands of sheep. But it wasn't like that in Palestine. They had 10, 15 sheep maybe. But his sheep hear his voice. He calls them. I told someone this past week, I was just in conversation, and I won't go into all the detail, but I said, I'm thankful the Lord found me. And this person corrected me. No. You mean you found him? And I said, no, that's not what I mean. I said, he never was lost. I was the one who was lost. Oh, that's different. But I've thought about that since then. And in truth, he does find us, but we also find him. He calls us, and then we call upon him. He loves us, or we love him, rather, because he first loved us. And we call upon him because he first calls upon us. He finds us, and then we find him, and we seek after him. And that is the rest of our life. We sang that hymn just a few moments ago. Draw me nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to the cross. Not the wooden cross, but to Christ upon the cross. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. The Lord said, I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. And God's people, his sheep, are his by gift. The Father gave them unto him by purchase. He purchased us with his own blood, and by conquest. The Holy Spirit, he conquers us and brings us. Fear not, for I have loved thee. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Fear not, for I have called thee. Number four, fear not, for I am with thee. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. His presence is promised. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you cannot help but notice the word through in verses 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, he's with us in the waters, in the rivers, and in the fire. And we're going through. We're not going to stay in the waters. We're not going to stay in the rivers or in the fires. We're going through. And why? Because he's with us. That's why. Because he's with us, and because he gives us strength and grace, and he gives us perseverance. In ourselves, we are just like Jacob described his oldest son, Reuben. Reuben. Weak as water. Weaker than water. The Lord Jesus Christ said, for without me you can do nothing. But he has promised to be with us. Fear not, for I am with thee. You know, we have many examples in the Word of God to bring this truth home to our hearts. But there's none better than the three Hebrew children. When they refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's idol, And the furnace was heated 7 times hotter because they'd already made up their mind they were not going to bow. And they told the king that. But you know, the soldiers, if I understand that right, the soldiers that threw those 3 men into the furnace, they died. The heat was so strong that the soldiers who threw them in, they died. But then it wasn't long before Nebuchadnezzar was looking into that fire. And he asked his people, did not we cast 3? Didn't we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? Isn't that what we did? He didn't do anything. He gave the order. He didn't cast a man. But he said, didn't we cast 3 men into that fire? Sure, true, true, O king. Well, I see 4 men. I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Fear not, for I am with thee. When thou passest through the waters, when thou passest through the rivers, and when thou passest through the fire, I am with thee. And number 5, lastly, fear not, for I will bring all thy seed. Notice beginning in verse 5 about middle ways. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. Now the seed here, I will bring thy seed, refers to the spiritual seed of Jacob. You know, it begins with the word to Jacob and then Israel, who is Jacob. Thy seed, that is his spiritual seed. It is not Israel after the flesh, we know that, but it is Israel after the Spirit. That is all of God's elect, all of God's chosen people, are scattered all around this world. Different ages, different times. But as this verse tells us, they're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west. Wherever they are, whatever clime in which they have been born, in which they live, they're going to come. Not one is going to be missing, not one. God's purpose concerning his church is going to be accomplished. Now, sometimes we get discouraged, and I have read enough church history and enough history to know that there have been times when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been larger as far as numbers, and there's been times when she has been smaller. That's all in God's providence. We don't know at any time how many of God's people are in this world. I guess the closest we ever come to that is in the days of Elijah when God told him, I have 7,000. Elijah thought he was the only one. I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. We don't know how many. That's not our position. It's not needful that we know, right? But we do know this, that each and every one that God loved from eternity and Christ redeemed with his precious blood is going to come to Jesus Christ. Not one is going to be lost. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, the Lord said, I say unto you, that is to those Jewish leaders who just turned thumbs down on him, who didn't recognize him as the Messiah, as the Savior. He said, I say unto you that many shall come. I like that word many, don't you? This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. I don't know how many there are, But I know there's many, many. Many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God. Fear not, for all his seed shall be brought safely home. Not one shall be missing. Well, there's five truths there in these verses that God gives us as to reasons why we should not fear. The opposite of fear is faith, isn't it? Believe God. Trust God. Let's sing a verse of two of a hymn. Never alone. Never alone.